Life Church created this podcast because we all need healthy conversations with real people. So this podcast is here to help you start conversations with your life group, friends, and family. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to the You've Heard It Said podcast. This is Jason.
And this is Allie.
And today I thought we could talk about the first time when we felt like we belonged in a community, you know, but not just any community, the one where you do something together and then it makes you feel like you're like really friends.
Okay, well, you go first.
I knew you'd do that.
You're right.
Okay, so I was thinking about this before we started. So in my first job out of college, I was doing like the social media and marketing for a humanitarian aid organization. And so most of my work was a desk job. But when there was some kind of like major worldwide disaster, sometimes I'd get to travel with our first response team to help tell the story of the helpers. But pretty much every time, I would end up having this moment where like I was done telling the story, where I could put down my camera, put away the laptop, and actually help with my hands clean up after a tornado or tsunami or like these crazy situations, get to pray with a family who just lost everything. And as I think back on it, pretty much no matter what, the people who I would travel with together ended up becoming my new friends.
Yeah, I love that because I think having some sort of group purpose where you're like doing something together really helps you go from that awkward stage where you're new friends to kind of like those friends where you have inside jokes and these stories that then you tell about like years later. Yep. And so it reminds me of when I graduated college and I moved to a new city to start a new job. And so I didn't really know anybody in my city. I didn't really know the people that I worked with. And so one day we decided to go volunteer at one of our local mission partners. And I became really close with some of the people afterwards, which was really awesome because there's just something about serving together that gives you a purpose and connection that you don't find when you just sit around and talk.
Right. So we've been talking about relationships all season long, but today we wanted to get into the so that of relationships. Like we're friends, but friends for the sake of who? We know that we get together to encourage one another, but Hebrews 10:24 also tells us that it's so that we can encourage one another toward love and good deeds.
Exactly. So Laura, one of our storytellers, went on location to one of our local mission partners, Union Rescue Mission, and met with some people in life groups who served there together. And we think you'll really enjoy hearing their story.
For this episode, we are talking about what it looks like to strengthen relationships in our life groups and in our communities, which, let's be honest, is a pretty broad topic. I mean, we spent an entire episode just figuring out how to ask someone to coffee. What would it even look like to tackle this big of an idea in a half hour? That's the question I asked when I found out the theme for this episode. But then the Union Rescue Mission came to mind. What's the Union Rescue Mission? It's a homeless shelter in my hometown, Wichita, Kansas. I volunteered there in high school, and one of my longtime friends, Amy, now works there, overseeing their communications and social media. And during a recent conversation I had with her, she told me something interesting. She talked about how invested volunteers from the East Wichita Life Church campus were in serving at URM, how life groups would serve together, and what a difference they were making in the lives of the men who were there. I realize this might be the perfect story for this episode, but first, I needed to find out more. So I reached back out to Amy. I found out that the Life Church volunteers serve with a specific ministry called Dining with Dignity. Twice a month, they turn the cafeteria at URM into a sit-down dining service. According to Amy, this event is a highlight for the men at URM, and they love the care and energy the volunteers bring every week. We wanted to see Dining with Dignity for ourselves. So Audra and I packed up some interview equipment, jumped in the car, and made the drive up I-35 to Wichita. So it's about 1:15 on a Friday afternoon, and Audra and I just parked in front of the Union Rescue Mission. The first thing I want to do is talk to Amy and her boss, Sherdell, to find out more about what URM is up to. Sherdell, Trudell and Amy. Welcome to the You've Heard It Said podcast. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Happy to be here.
I'm glad to be as well. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, of course. So just first thing right off the bat, would you both tell us a little bit about your background?
I grew up here in Wichita. I've been involved in missions and different ways of helping out the community throughout my life. My mom wanted us to be involved in things, and so we were involved in the community and involved here at Union Rescue Mission for a good portion of my life.
I'll just kind of give you the Cliff Note version.
That would be great.
Product of Chicago. I come from a broken home. And mom and dad relocated to the Chicago area from the South in the 40s during the Industrial Revolution time and for better jobs. And of course, like people during that time in the South, it was very challenging.
Yeah.
So when they landed in Chicago, my dad was a taxi driver and my mom worked in an elevator in a building in Chicago. And so there were eight of us. I had somewhat of a challenging upbringing. Mm-hmm. And the person I am today, I attribute all that to, of course, my walk with Christ and my mom being that foundation of directing me to Christ for sure. But of course, been here in this Wichita community for, it'll be 31 years.
Okay, wow.
June the 11th.
That's awesome.
I don't feel like I've ever had to go to work. I know it's a God calling with regards to our guests, the neighbors whom we serve.
Mm-hmm. What type of work does the Union Rescue Mission do in the community?
Well, we provide service primarily to men that are homeless, that need to be, of course, rescued, re-engaged, and really given a new assignment, a new appointment in life, and kind of redirected to help shift them from their condition to their rightful position. Mm-hmm. And our primary way of doing that is first sharing Christ. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I don't want to preach, but you know,
no, go ahead. Goes. It's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we really believe that if they get a foundation in Christ, that's going to be essential for them to move on to the next outline from a step process.
Mm-hmm. Practically, what does that look like? What services do you provide?
Well, wow. Good question. So we provide sheltering. We provide very good meals. I mean, let me emphasize again, very good meals.
I've heard Amy talking about how good the meals
are. They're delicious.
It is a tremendous blessing. And some could think, well, that's a homeless shelter. Why are you providing such great service? But they're us. We are them. And to try to create a division, I think that would be a flaw. The scripture clearly states in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, what you've done to least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. So we try to live that out and practice that here at Union Rescue Mission in Wichita.
It's all about taking the time to sit and talk and listen to them and share the gospel with them. I mean, we've had a grandma come who had just gotten custody of her 5 grandkids like the day before and was needing food and help. And because we were able to sit down and talk with her, we were able to get her beds and bedding and just help her be able to care for the kids that are now in her care.
One of the other great things that I really want to mention is that Eagle's Wing, it's an apartment complex, 24 units, brand new.
That's
an 18-month program. In other words, when you get into Eagle's Wings, you pay for your own rent. It's not free. Of course, they have a job. And they have strict guidelines they have to follow. And they've got a case manager that's kind of overseeing that whole project. Mm-hmm. But it's one per apartment. And if they do what's right, they build up a reputation that when they are ready to move out after the 18 months, well, we can write a letter of recommendation and say, hey, this person's been a stellar renter from us. And so that seems to work out real well, and that's just the part of the partnership.
Could you tell me a little bit about Dining with Dignity? How did it get started, and what sort of role does it play here at Union Rescue Mission?
So we have a pastor on staff, full-time pastor. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jay made the connection with Life Church.
Okay.
And they came up with the concept of the Dining with Dignity, and we love it.
Yeah. So we completely redecorate and move the tables around in the cafeteria, and the guys just get to sit there and have everyone serve around them. And some of these guys, you can tell, it's been a really long time since they've had an experience like that. And so they're able to just sit there and relax and enjoy their meal. And then what's really cool is that the volunteers have a chance to just sit down and chat with people. And it really helps the volunteers get an opportunity to see the men not just as homeless men, but see them as, oh, this is my friend. I remember you from when I was here last month. How are you?
Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative, he basically states that if you want to change a person's narrative, it's to create proximity. James 4, 7, and 8 says, if you draw closer to God, he'll come closer to you, and you have the power to resist the devil. And it's one thing to look at a distance, and you can give and put money to things, but like church, in a very demonstrative way, they come and they share life with our guest. That's refreshing.
How have you seen serving impact the volunteers who come through?
It creates that community, and it also propels them to see things in themselves that I think maybe they hadn't recognized before.
I'm particularly thinking of one volunteer who, not too long ago, within the last year, lost her husband. And when he was battling cancer, he would tell her, look, don't stop volunteering at the mission. You love volunteering over there.
Yeah.
It brings you life when you can go and be with other people. And this particular volunteer loved to go and have lunch down with the guys and just talk to them because she's had her own struggles with depression and different other life challenges. She loves to come, and she is such a servant and willing to do whatever and just wants to be with people and has made genuine friendships with the different people that are here.
It's easy to stay in a homogenized environment.
Right.
And I think you do yourself and our society a grave injustice when you allow yourself only to stay in those small segments. There's so much to be learned when we get out of our comfort zones and intermingle with folk from other dialects and ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds.
What advice would you give someone who wanted to invest more in their community?
I would first see what is your direct campus or your local church, what partners and what ministries are they investing in your community? And then go and see how you can help. Because if your church has done the research and that they're a good, solid ministry, then just go and see what can be done.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
For talking to us today.
Yay. We appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We've heard people talk about what dining with dignity is like, so how about we actually listen to it in action? First, let me describe the cafeteria to you. The walls used to be this really boring blue, but a local artist recently covered the walls with murals, and they are beautiful. And so many of them point toward Jesus and different verses in the Bible, all designed to encourage the men at URM to ask questions about what they're seeing. Tables in the cafeteria are all lined up in rows, each with its own unique tablecloth and handmade placemats. Dining with Dignity volunteers are setting up, pouring drinks, that kind of thing. URM's chef is hard at work in the back. It looks like flatbread pizzas are on the menu tonight.
They're different kinds. This one's the hamburger with the onions and the peppers. That one's got pepperoni on it.
And in one corner, there's a rack of desserts donated by local businesses. I really want a piece of pie, but I'm going to do my best to resist. Oh, it looks like the volunteers are about to start their huddle. Let's listen in.
All right, who's doing drinks? You want to do drinks?
Sure.
Okay.
Remember, our number one priority here is not just dessert, but the restaurant is to help relationships with the people who get here. So if you're not doing something, go ahead and talk to somebody, okay? Even offer, hey, you want me to pray with you or something like that? They don't want.
All right, we good? All right, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll start, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the staff that's here supporting
us today. Okay, now that the huddle is wrapped up, they are getting ready to open the doors. Jan, one of the volunteers, is the hostess for today's event. She brings in a few of the guys at a time, which keeps things more manageable for the volunteers and makes sure everyone gets their food and drinks. Water and tea are served first, and the volunteers use the table numbers to communicate with one another and get the word around if someone hasn't been served yet. Not long after getting their drinks, the volunteers start bringing out the food. Amy told me that URM chef has worked as the head chef at several restaurants, and the men have the chance to work for him here and learn what it's like to work in a professional kitchen. Last, the dessert comes out. There is so much variety, cakes and cupcakes and pie, which I might still have my eye on. The guys are all talking, eating, and having a good time. The volunteers are doing such a great job serving them and connecting with them. I love getting to see Christ's love at work like this. Jake, Casey, and Deb. Thank you so much for being with us on the You've Heard It Said podcast. We're just going to talk a little bit about your experiences with your life groups and your experiences serving with Dining with Dignity. So the very first question, how did each of you get involved with a life group?
I got involved with a life group by attending the church and then coming to the wall and just getting information. So that's basically how I got involved.
I got involved mainly because I was looking at the different groups available and I didn't see one that fit what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that maybe I needed to just go ahead and start something that would work for my life and schedule.
I had just retired from work, and that was when I decided I was going to start a life group.
So it's easy to say, you know, I want to be a part of a life group, or it's easy to maybe like go the first time, but it can take some more effort to really get bonded as a group. So how did that happen for you guys?
For me, it was serving with them. I think when you serve together, you have a purpose, you know, you're doing something, but you're also serving other people at the same time. Mm-hmm. Through that, you get to see people's hearts and you get to see who they are.
Yeah.
And that makes me love them even more.
Gotcha.
I think that we started bonding because we'll do the online devotions and nice. Things together. That way we can kind of maintain contact between our life group meetings and then we all will share back and forth.
Yeah. So that digital connection throughout the week, it takes it beyond just a once a week get together.
Right, right.
Our group, I think we're all around the same age, so retirement age. Mm-hmm. So it really worked out well. We could go to lunches together on different days, bonding by that. We're all kind of silly ladies. We're the thing is to wear the hats for the birthdays. We celebrate birthdays together. Any of the special occasions that we can come up with. We also do the Bible plan together. We've helped each other so many times through different hardships that have came about and just supported each other.
And so your group has really gone beyond just the once a week meeting together. You get lunch together. You celebrate birthdays together.
Yes.
There's a lot
of
depth.
We do. And we also serve together.
How did each of you start serving here at URM?
I started serving here about 2 years ago, and it was because the first time I came into church, I grabbed that card and I checked every box because I thought it was fake. Just being real, I did. And they all reached out to me. And I'm
so all the ministries.
Every one of them, yeah.
Yes.
And so I do serve on all those teams now.
I feel like most people, if they had checked all of the boxes and then gotten all of these responses, they would have been like, this is overwhelming. Let me run away. But you have stuck it out. And so what drove you to keep up with that involvement, like initially and over the years, and how has that changed you?
Well, when I checked those boxes, I feel like my life was really empty. My mother had just passed away, and I was going through a lot of personal relationship stuff. And so coming into church and getting involved in each ministry has impacted my life greatly. So before I felt no purpose, now I feel like so much purpose, you know, from doing like Life Kids with three-year-olds to hanging out with recovering drug addicts at the rescue mission. I'm seeing everything, and I'm seeing how God works through everybody's lives. Just seeing that has changed my life, because every time I feel like, okay, I'm kind of getting tired, I'll see like one of the kids come out and say, hey, will you help me get baptized? So how can you stop?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I got involved here because I knew that there was something that I wanted to do in order to serve. And so it was kind of a natural opportunity, knowing that the church supports this mission. I believe that people often, they say they want to volunteer. They just don't always have the opportunity or maybe the courage to step out and try something new. And so I think that by having all of us do it together, it's a way that everyone kind of had the courage, plus, you know, there was a little bit of an incentive of peer pressure, I guess, of like everyone else isn't in the group is going, so we probably better go too.
Deb, would you tell me more about how you started serving more after retirement and how that decision has impacted your life?
Well, I had prayed really hard for God to direct me in the way that I needed to go to serve him. And that was by volunteering more, being available when someone needs something. If there's something I can do, I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I think when I retired, that was my mission, was that I know that God had planted that seed to get me started in it. And I have no regrets for sure, because it fills my heart with joy just to be able to do that.
So could you give me a story from your life group experiences?
I think my favorite one would be Guy, because meeting him here, it was literally the last chapel before COVID.
Wow.
And for some reason, somehow, I don't know why, I'd never done it before, I just said, hey, do you have a phone? Let me have it. And I downloaded YouVersion, and I added him as a friend. He was just looking at me like, what are you doing? And like, I sent him a plan, and we started doing stuff. And this is before he, you know, joined Life Group. And so next day, COVID, everything shut down. I was like, you're coming to church with me. And he couldn't. But we stayed connected. Mm-hmm. We did online. We did the devotions every single day during the whole thing. And then through that, we built such a good relationship. And they bragged about him so much at church. And his life has changed. And I actually got to help baptize him.
That's amazing.
So that's probably my favorite from mine.
You got like a prompting from God to...
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Download YouVersion onto his phone. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't just grab random phones.
Right. What advice would you give someone who wanted to get more involved with a life group?
I think serving as a life group is important. You grow more spiritually together. You see other people's lives impacted. Serving in the church is awesome. Going into like Life Kids or host teams, you get a lot of time, especially like on host team, to talk. And to serve along, so much time to speak to each other. But for me personally, serving outside of the church, I find to be super rewarding. It's unpredictable.
Right.
And you really have to lean on your faith. And you, like, when you walk into here, you don't know what you're going to see.
Right.
You have no clue what you're going to see. And it's different every time.
I would say that you get out of things what you put into it. And so in order to really feel connected at church, you need to be involved so that you can start meeting people.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give someone who wanted to get more involved with their community?
To not think about it, to just do it. It's impacted me greatly. I see people at church all the time, and I'm like, hey, where we normally wouldn't talk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we wave at each other at church, but I see you picking up your kid from Life Kids. I'm out the window. Hi.
You're pointing to Casey.
Yeah, to Casey.
Yes.
They knew that. And then, of course, Deb, she's been there for me through a lot, and she has become my Kansas mom. Mm-hmm.
It makes you more compassionate, and I think that it also is a reminder that God doesn't call us to judge. He just calls us to love, and we can do that, and with whether we agree with someone's life choices or not, we can certainly love and serve them.
Yeah.
A lot of the relationships that I've developed has been here, because there's several of the, just with Casey and several of the others that serve, we don't cross paths. I've broadened my, with just new friends. Getting to serve, even with your life group folks, you see different.
You see,
because there's so much of the compassion that comes out at that point.
One thing that I've noticed from all three of you is that you have used the time that God has given you to serve other people, and that's amazing.
So I loved how the big takeaway from Jake and Casey and Deb was that you just need to take that first step, take a leap, and just start doing it.
For sure. That was my favorite part too, because I think it's so easy to let the idea of serving your community be this nice concept instead of a concrete part of your life.
Right. So this has me thinking about something that our boss, Kendra, shared recently. She drew this stick figure. And you know, like when you draw a stick figure, there's like this big head and like a tiny little body and little like hands and arms that are, okay, so the head is huge and the body's really tiny. Can you picture it? Right? Okay. So she's talking about how sometimes we have stick figure faith. We fill our heads full of knowledge about who Jesus is, what he did, what the Bible says about that or this. But then we've got these huge heads and these tiny little bodies because we're not really doing anything with the knowledge, right? Instead, we need to flip that script and actually do the things Jesus did. Go the places Jesus would go. Love the people he would love, which is like everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And then our faith will start to grow and develop.
I love all of that. And it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 8:1. And the NLT says it like this: while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church.
Ooh.
Right.
So, like, that gets me thinking. As I hear this story, and as other people hear this story, if we just listen, then what do we get? We get knowledge. We get a bigger head. But it's a whole nother thing if we allow this story to motivate us and encourage us toward those love and good deeds and actually live it out like we're talking about earlier.
Right. So your first step this week is to start a conversation about this episode with your life group, your friends, and your family. And start by just asking, would my community notice if my life group stopped meeting?
Oof.
And how are my relationships making a difference?
So those are big questions, but don't just talk about them. Make a plan for what you're going to do about it.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of You've Heard It Said, and we hope that what you heard inspired you to reach out to a friend or your life group and talk about it. We even have a conversation guide in the show notes to get you started. Also, did you know that we're always looking for more stories of life change to share on the podcast? Yours might be next. If you have a story you'd love to share, you can send it to us at www.life.church/my-story. Also, you'd get a gold star from us if you would take a second to leave a rating and review. We know everybody asks for one, but it really does help people find these inspiring stories. Have a great week.